Luke 19, verses 1 to 10, give the title of this message, The Seeking Savior, and it's a story about the wee little man, Zacchaeus, that we all love so well. Let's read the text beginning in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, Luke 19, 1. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was of the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not for the press, that's the crowd, because he was of little stature. And so he ran, verse 4, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in your house. And so he made haste and he came down joyfully, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, verse 7, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said, Behold, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Whenever I read the story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man, I think of an interesting story about the great British preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon had what was called the pastor's college, and he was training young men to preach the word. And he would gather his students together, and sometimes he would call on a student to give a sermon extemporaneously, just on the spot, and he would actually give him the text that he was to preach from. Well, story is one day he called a young man there in the school up to preach, and he gave him the text of Luke 19, verses 1 to 10 on the life of, or the story of Zacchaeus. So this young guy, scared to death, got up in front of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he began to preach, and these were his 3 points from the text. He said, Zacchaeus was of little stature, so am I. He said, Zacchaeus was up a tree, so am I. He said, Zacchaeus came down, so will I. And he ran down off the stage. I can't tell you how many times I've been tempted to use that as my 3 points for my sermon on Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a little guy, so am I. Zacchaeus was up a tree, so am I. And Zacchaeus sat down. It'd be the shortest sermon I probably ever preached. But we all love the story of Zacchaeus. It's the story that is described by Jesus himself as the theme is in verse 10. For the Son of Man, messianic title for Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so we have this story of Zacchaeus for us in the Bible. Now, there are 4 movements of the story that I want to look at with you quickly. And that is, the first is Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, verses 1 through 4. Notice in verse 1 that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, the context of the story is Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's going to Jerusalem to be crucified. So Jesus has finally left Galilean ministry. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's actually on his way to the cross to give his life as a ransom for the sins of the world. And so Jesus is following the crowd. The crowd's following him, and they're on their way through Jericho. Now, Jericho sets down in the Kidron, not at the Kidron, but in the Jordan Valley, down by the Dead Sea. It's east of Jerusalem. And you would come from Galilee down the Jordan Valley. You would come through Jericho and then make the steep trip up to the city of Jerusalem. So he's on his way to be crucified. And notice in verse 2, it says, Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Now, it's interesting because the name Zacchaeus literally means righteous one or the holy one. But we know that Zacchaeus was anything from righteous, anything but righteous, or anything but a holy individual. Notice in verse 2, he is described as being the chief among the publicans. So he was what we call a tax collector. Not just a tax collector, but he was the tax collector over other tax collectors. He was the chief of publicans, which means he had other tax collectors working for him. Now, in the Bible, those of you that know your Bible, the publicans were actually just synonymous with sinners. Jesus came to save and seek that which is lost. So he's going to seek out Zacchaeus and he's going to be saved. But they were just synonymous with sinners because they were Jews who worked for the Roman government. They were what we would call turncoats. They turned against their own nation and they were collecting taxes of the Jewish people to give to Rome. But they, by extortion, would take more than they were supposed to. They would pocket it and then they would give the rest to the Roman government. So they were kind of like the mafia of their day. They were the gangsters and the mobsters of their day. And they were really rich. They were really corrupt. But they were considered by the Orthodox Jews as being ceremonially unclean and uncouth. And they were ostracized. They couldn't come to the temple and worship. And so they were hated by their own nation and despised. But it says there that he was rich. Now, though he was rich, I believe, as indicated, that he wanted to come to Jesus and know who Jesus was, that his life was empty and that he was actually seeking the Lord. But we're going to find out in a moment that it was the Lord that was actually seeking him. Isn't it interesting sometimes when we think that we're seeking the Lord, it's actually the Lord who initiates it and he works in our heart and draws us to seek him. So he was rich, but he was empty. Money could not buy him happiness. It's interesting, at the end of the 18th chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus had just encountered the individual we call the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler had turned and went sorrowfully away and would not follow Jesus because he had great riches. But Jesus, in light of that, said how hard it is for those who are rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And when he said camel and needle, he was talking about a real camel and a real needle. And he was basically talking about how impossible it is that a camel could go through the eye of a needle. But he said, but with God, all things are possible. With men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And that's what we have in the story of Zacchaeus. It's hard for a rich man to be saved, but it's not impossible. And the point I want to make is that no one's beyond the grace of God. No one is too lost. No one is too far gone. No one is too sinful for the grace of God. You might feel like tonight that you are a great sinner and that God could not forgive you. No one's too far. No one's gone into a pit too deep, but God's love goes deeper still and can draw them out and transform their life. And so this rich, corrupt individual comes to know Christ. All things are possible with God. No one is beyond saving. And I'm sure that the crowd at that time thought that Zacchaeus was beyond salvation. No one would have ever imagined or ever comprehended or ever thought that this tax collector, chief of the tax collectors, Zacchaeus, who was so lost, could ever be saved. But notice in verse 3, it tells us that he sought Jesus to see who he was. He wanted to know who Jesus was. Now, it doesn't tell us why, but we could speculate a little bit. And it's speculation, but it's a good possibility that perhaps he had seen the change in the life of his fellow tax collector, Levi. You all know the Gospel of Matthew. Well, Matthew was a tax collector. His name was Levi. He's the guy that started the jean company, made Levi jeans. I'm kidding. But he's already become a follower of Christ and his life was changed. And you know, if you're a tax collector, you don't have a lot of friends outside of the other tax collectors. No one's going to hang out with you. So no doubt he knew Levi and he knew about Levi's conversion. He knew Levi was following Jesus and he saw the change in Levi's life perhaps. And maybe he was curious about who this Jesus is. Or perhaps secondly, it was the emptiness of his own life, his possessions and the pleasures that he had could not satisfy. Do you know that you were made to know God? And without knowing God, there's no real fulfillment in life. There's a God-shaped void in every one of us that can only be filled with the right relationship with God. And so he was empty and he was searching. Or perhaps he was just in need of real love. No one loved tax collectors. How many love tax collectors today, right? You work for the IRS, you're not exactly the most popular person in town. So maybe he just needed someone to love his soul. Or perhaps he was tired and weary of life. There are so many times that people just get tired and weary and they maybe want to take their own life. They want to give up on life. But it says there in verse 3 that he wanted to know who Jesus was. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the second person of the Godhead. The Bible teaches there's one God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is God the Son. And by the way, he's the eternal Son of God. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word. So he's the eternal Word. And the Word was with God. He's the personal Word. And the Word was with God. He is the Word that was face to face with God the Father. Then the Word became flesh, John 1:14, and tabernacled among us, or pitched his tent among us. So who is Jesus? He's God who came from heaven through the womb of the Virgin Mary, took on full humanity. So he's unique in that he's the God-man, fully God and fully man in one person. No one before him, no one ever after him is that, what Jesus Christ is, the God-man. So Jesus came, and Zacchaeus was curious as to know who this man is. Now, Zacchaeus could not see him, notice it in verse 3, because of the crowd or the press. The crowd had gotten so big he couldn't see him, and because he was of little stature. Now, it doesn't tell us how short Zacchaeus was. We'll have to wait and ask when we get to heaven, I guess. But he was a little short guy, so it tells us that he did two unbecoming things for a man of his position in that culture. Number one, he ran, verse 4. A dignified man in that culture would never run. He ran. He put aside his pride and he ran to kind of beat the crowd. And then secondly, verse 4, he climbed up a tree. And that was something that an adult would not do. So he climbed up this sycamore tree, or this large ficus sycamore tree. So Zacchaeus came seeking Jesus to know who he was. And I believe in light of the fact that he ran and climbed this tree, that Zacchaeus had put aside his pride and his ego, and he came humbly, he came sincerely, and he came earnestly wanting to know who this man Jesus Christ is. In Jeremiah 29:13, the prophet Jeremiah said that you shall seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. So it's interesting that Zacchaeus, this wealthy, affluent, wicked, corrupt individual, was interested. He wanted to know about Jesus and wanted to know who Jesus was. But the second movement, verses 5 and 6, we see that Jesus was in reality seeking Zacchaeus. Look at it with me, verse 5 and 6. It says that when Jesus came to the place that he looked up and he saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must abide in your house. And so he made haste, he hurried, and he came down. And Zacchaeus received him, that is Christ, joyfully. Now Zacchaeus thought that he was seeking Jesus, but Jesus was in reality seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've what? Chosen you. So you think you're seeking the Lord, but the Bible says that in our natural state, our sinful, unsaved, unregenerate state, that we don't really seek after God. That the Holy Spirit has to first come and convict us of our sin and our need of a Savior. And no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So I believe that God was working in this man's life to draw him to Jesus. So notice that Jesus came to the place where he was. And I love this. He looked up and saw him. So there's this tax collector, this man of wealth, this man of dignity, doing something very unbecoming. It would have been humiliating. Climbs up a tree, and there's this huge crowd, and he thinks that Jesus is just going to go passing by, but Jesus comes right under the tree where Zacchaeus is in, and he stops and he looks up, and Zacchaeus is so busted. And I imagine Zacchaeus' heart started to beat a little fast, like, whoa, what's going on here? And then Jesus, verse 5, called him by name. Jesus didn't say, hey, you up the tree, come on down, I want to talk to you. He stopped, he looked up, and he actually called him by name. Did you know that God knows your name? He also knows where you're at. When you're up a tree, he knows you're up a tree. When you're in a pit, he knows you're in a pit. When you're living in sin, he knows you're living in sin. The Bible says, All things are naked and open before the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. You can't hide from God. Maybe you're here tonight and you're trying to hide from God. Maybe you've been trying to run from God. Maybe God brought you here tonight so that He could seek after you and find you. So Jesus saw him. God sees you. Jesus called him by name. I believe Jesus calls us by name. The Bible says He has the very hairs of our head all numbered. Not one sparrow falls to the ground, but He takes notice of that. You're of more value than many sparrows. And then Jesus said something amazing. He said, I want you to come down for today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but today, I must, He said, abide at your house. Now, this is a really unique situation. This is the only place in the Bible that Jesus ever invited Himself over to someone's house for a meal. It's biblical. Try it after church tonight. Jesus did it. Hey, you, I'm coming to your house to eat tonight. Jesus also said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, I'll come in and I'll have supper with you. That's cool. Open the door. I want to come in and eat. So He actually invites Himself to Zacchaeus' house. Now, as we're going to see, the multitude watching this were blown away. Like, He's gone to the home of a man who is a sinner. They probably said, like, sinner, like that. Cooties. How disgusting. Jesus would go to the home of a publican, the chief of publicans, Zacchaeus. But Jesus saw him, He called him, and then Jesus pursues him. I must go to your house. Reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, which is really more the story of the prodigal father, who with his reckless love pursued his son. And when he saw the son coming back, he ran to that son. Remember the story? He ran to the son and he threw his arms around that boy who had been so reckless in the way that he lived and rebellious. And he smothered him with kisses. And he put shoes on his feet and a ring on his finger. And he put his garment on him and killed the fatted calf and began to celebrate. Now, why did Jesus say, I must come to your house? I believe it's because Jesus was on a divine mission. Jesus was on a divine mission. He knew that Zacchaeus needed saving, and He came to seek, verse 10, and to save that which was lost. So what did Zacchaeus do? He did what we need to do. He received Jesus joyfully. He received Jesus joyfully. In 1 John 1:12, it says, but as many as receive Him, to them He gave the power or the right or the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe on His name. So we need to open our hearts and invite Christ to come in, and we need to receive Him by faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So like Zacchaeus received Jesus, we receive Jesus today in our hearts by faith. We come believing and trusting in Him. But notice then the third movement of the story in verses 7 and 8. First, Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus. Then Jesus is seeking Zacchaeus. And then thirdly, Zacchaeus was transformed. He came into an experience with Christ that transformed his life. Notice verse 7 and 8. That when he saw it, they all murmured, the crowd. They said that he was gone to be the guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. Now, there was no doubt some time of conversation and some eating and some time when interacting with the Lord. But Zacchaeus, at the end of this time, he stands and he says, Lord, calls him Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken, and if as since I have taken anything from men, I false accusing, I will restore unto him fourfold. Now, notice how the crowd was offended in verse 7. He's gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. Pray tell me, who can Jesus go to eat with that is not a sinner? Right? The Bible says all have what? And fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. So these religious Jews self-righteously thought we're not sinners, but he's a sinner, not realizing that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short. There's no one righteous, no, not one. Jesus came as the sinner's friend, so he's going to Zacchaeus' home. But notice how Zacchaeus was changed in the 8th verse. It says that he stood and said, "Lord, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor, and that which I have taken, I'm going to restore fourfold." Now, when a tax collector gives money back, you know he's been saved. So you know this guy's been transformed by the power of God. So what I've done is wrong, and I want to restore what I've done. The Bible tells us that we're not saved by our good works, but we are saved unto good works. Again, in Ephesians 2, we're saved by grace, but we become, verse 10 of Ephesians 2, his workmanship. His workmanship. Created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? That we should walk in them. So when you become a Christian, the Bible says old things pass away, all things become new. There will be a transformation take place in your life. And that is what happened in the case of Zacchaeus. He was saved. He encountered Jesus. So knowing Jesus now made his money insignificant. You might say he had a new life and he had a new love and he had a new hope. He had a new life, eternal life. He had a new love. He loved God. And now he had a new hope and his life was transformed. But lastly, in verse 9 and 10, I want you to notice this last movement of the story. Jesus makes this closing declaration. Verse 9 and 10. Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, Jesus says to him, "This day is salvation come to this house." Bible always puts salvation in the present tense. Bible says, "Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart." The Bible says, "Come now and let's reason together, saith the Lord." So you don't want to tonight say, "Well, I'll trust Jesus another time, another opportunity. I know I need to get right with God, but I'll do it another day, another time." The Bible says we don't know what life is holding for us. It's like a vapor of smoke that it appears for a moment and then vanishes away. You know, there isn't one of us here tonight that can guarantee we'll be here tomorrow. I just thought I would encourage you. But it's true. None of us here tonight know for sure that we will be here tomorrow. Are you ready to die? Are you right with God? Are your sins forgiven? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that you have eternal life? Do you have the hope of heaven? So very important that we make that commitment to Christ now. Come now and be forgiven. Don't harden your hearts if you hear God's voice. Now, how did he come? He came by faith. Notice Jesus said he's become a son of Abraham. That's not because he's a Jew. That's because he believed in God the way Abraham did. You know, salvation, whether Old Testament or New Testament, has always been the same. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ and God's promises. Remember when God told Abraham he's going to have a whole bunch of kids? He told, "Look at the stars, look at the sky. That's how many kids you're going to have." What did the Bible say? Genesis chapter 15, that Abraham believed God and God gave him righteousness, right? That's how we are saved today. We believe God, we believe the promise of God, and we are forgiven and we are saved. So salvation came to him that moment by faith, and he became, like Abraham, saved by believing the promises of God. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believes." There's our word. Whoever by faith believes or trusts in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus then in verse 10 said, "The Son of Man has come." This is the whole message of the story. "To seek and to save that which is lost. Zacchaeus was lost, but now he is found. Zacchaeus was blind, but now he sees. Zacchaeus was dead spiritually, separated from God, as we are before we're saved, and now he has eternal life. Jesus is telling us why he came. He came to seek, he came to save. He came to save us from the penalty of sin, he came to save us from the power of sin, and he came to save us from the presence of sin altogether. How did he do that? By the cross of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he took your place. His death was a substitution. All have sinned, all have fallen short, all have fallen short of the glory of God. No one righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. We should have died, but Jesus died in our place. He took your place. He died in your stead. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And Jesus is that seeking shepherd. He comes and knocks on the door of your heart. And the Bible says, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart, but open your heart. And he will come in. He will forgive you of your sins. And he will give you the hope of heaven. He'll give you eternal life. He brought you here tonight to hear this message. He is the seeking Savior. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that sought Zacchaeus and saved him is the same Jesus tonight who will seek you and forgive you. He's calling you by name. He's knocking on the door of your heart. The question is, will you open your heart tonight and trust Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord? I don't want anyone to leave tonight without being given an opportunity to believe and receive Jesus Christ, to open your heart to Him and have your sins forgiven, to know that when you die, you'll go to heaven, to become a child of God. Maybe you're here tonight because God wants to save you at this very moment, and He's calling you by name. You've run from Him, you've resisted Him, but tonight He's calling you. He loves you, and He wants to forgive you. If you haven't yet opened your heart to Jesus, if you haven't been born again, if you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven, I want to give you an opportunity right now, right here, to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and be forgiven. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.
If God has spoken to you through this message today and you're not sure that you're a child of God, maybe you don't know for sure that if you died today that you would go to heaven, you've never really trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would like to lead you in a prayer right now, inviting Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior. So as I pray this prayer, I want you to repeat it out loud, right where you are, after me. Make it from your heart, inviting Christ to come in and be your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I pray that you'll forgive me and come into my heart and make me your child. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. I believe in you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, God heard that prayer, and I believe that God will and does forgive your sins. We'd like to help you get started growing in your walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless you.
If you just prayed with Pastor John to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we are so excited for you. And we'd like to send you a Bible and some resources to get you started in your relationship with the Lord. Simply click on the contact link at the top of the page and tell us something like, "I prayed to accept Christ." We'll get your Bible and resources mailed out to you right away. God bless you and welcome to the family of God.